Good evening, everyone. It appears I've actually taken us live this time. So we're not
Hold
having
the bus. It's worked.
It's worked, yes. Hooray. The thing we needed to
Hold
work
the
has actually
bus.
worked.
Oh.
Oop.
Apologies.
Did you unplug your headphones or something?
No, I clicked the link to share it on my phone, so I wasn't tapping away in the keyboard. When I clicked the link, it automatically opened.
Well, at least we know it's definitely working. But welcome to our regular Monday stream. We seem to be doing it at the moment. This is Evelyn's Corner. It's not Starman and the Zoomer.
No, it's not.
But we've
This is my vertex. There are many other like it, but this one is mine.
the powerful Vertex.
Indeed. I suppose before we get started, we should do the usual due diligence of, thanking the people that show up to the streams and share them around, and even more so those people who are paying members or donate to the stream via either Super Chat or, more preferably, Streamlabs, which you could possibly add as a link to the pinned chat at the moment whilst I'm talking about it, because it's your
Yes.
support that helps make a lot of doing this stuff more worthwhile. And speaking of things to support, we also have, if you weren't aware and we're living under a rock, the next Nomos event coming up at the end of next month. See, I'm saying the
Yes,
end of
we do.
next month. It's going to be next month, very soon. And then it'll be, oh no, it's 2 weeks away.
Yes, we do have that on the 29th of October. And it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, there's somebody in the chat's got the wrong end of the stick. Irving Spengler saying I was paid to attend chat. See, this is the problem, actually. The CIA deliberately pays people not to watch our streams. I know this.
Yeah, we know this to be true. Otherwise, we'd have thousands of you, thousands. But no, again, just normal chilling stuff. We'll hopefully have some more writing out. I've just finished, well, not just, I've reworked slightly my essay that's going to be in the Shieldings event book. That's currently being reviewed by a couple of people just for grammar and editing. But we will have both of our essays in there, so that should be good. And like you said, we are still fully monetized. So memberships, super chats, and Streamlabs donations, as you said, are preferred. I hate to say it, but interacting with our content helps you still see it. It's not even a case of trying to get it in front of lots of other people's eyeballs. It's if you don't interact with it, you just won't see it. YouTube will hide it from you. So yeah, liking, subscribing, commenting, as gay as it is that YouTubers say that, it stops us being hidden from you. If you do like watching our stuff, it's really just
It
the
is
hamster
just that
wheel.
simple.
Yeah, it is just the hamster wheel of YouTube, but that's just the way it works, I'm afraid. Some regular, some normal faces, some regular faces. I see a really nauseous Caesar in the chat, doing a stack, it seems, but he's been pipped by a frog. But we do enjoy our community. We enjoy you guys coming to see us regularly. And I don't think we pulled the bait and switch on this, but Liz Truss becoming the new prime minister was kind of a foregone conclusion. And we're going to be
Kind of,
talking
yeah.
around, yeah, going to be talking around a lot of our stuff. But nearer the end, we will be talking specifically about policy areas and why they don't matter, honestly. Because if you look, it's going to be a Guardian article, as cringe as that is. But if you look at even what the most establishment kind of quote unquote center left managerial people say about her, supposed to be her enemy. She's a very mild figure. In fact, they seem to be less annoyed with her than they are with Mr. Boris. So I don't think any of you had any illusions that this was going to be a new dawn, but we can look at exactly why there really won't be any shift whatsoever.
Yes, we are here to give you your, I'd say weekly dose, but we've kind of been a slightly irregular with this stream just because we haven't
Yeah.
wanted to make crap, basically. But come here for your Monday evening's catharsis anyway, as we go through things we probably already know but should reinstate anyway.
This is another collapse watch stream, but
Oh.
there's so much
Oh
of it
no,
going
oh
on.
no, what just fell out of my pocket? Oh no, it wouldn't
What
have
is
to
it?
be a snippet from Liz Truss's personal life. on
What?
Wikipedia where it admits she cheated on the father of her children in 2004 or 2005 with a Conservative MP called Mark Field, and is still married to the same man. Take that for what you will.
But don't worry, guys. She's a Christian.
Yeah, no,
She has
she's a
very Christian.
Christian, Church of England, Anglican, you know,
Doesn't go to church though.
not a regular practicing person, but still a person of faith, clearly.
Yes, it's that
Sky.
kind of like the fig leaf of the Conservative Party, who really has lost most of its traditional membership. But shall we move on to some of the financial indicators? Because a lot of the stuff we've been saying in previous streams is just being borne out.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It is the very much like a dissident slash conspiracy theorist rhetoric to a mainstream news pipeline, and the fact that that time window was as short as weeks.
It is as short as weeks. We're seeing the other side of the rumbles we heard about the arse falling out of the bond market.
Well, that one will come back in a minute.
Yes.
But it's just the like. It's just the language of it. Inflation is going to be very painful, but there's one saving grace for investors, i.e., people who probably aren't on the margins and worried about like price inflation of food.
Yeah, it's people who have large amounts of capital to squirrel away somewhere.
Because it's the whole this whole article, I'm not really bothered reading much of it anyway, because it seems to be all premised on the fact that like, well, the dollar will be strong and America's not going to have a gas problem, which is true, but what America is going to have in the next 4 to 6 months, if figures I've seen are to be believed, is that they're going to have a petrol problem because they basically kicked the arse out of all fuel reserves for the last 2 years.
Well, they're looking like they're going to have a food crisis still as well. People have been talking about the price of beer and things as well. In America too, and the price of meat, the price of beer, the price of grain, and just in general. I know they have corn, but a lot of their wheat products have gone up in price still, like the rest of the world has. So it's they are yeah. Th this also is a nod towards the fact that part of the Ukraine crisis is the US effectively cutting the EU off at the knees when it comes to them being a competing power center, because this is really geared towards making Europe suffer. And the idea that investors can put their money in America as a safe haven shows their comparative short-term wealth gain compared to Europe. And they're just saying, well, everything may be terrible here, but it's not terrible everywhere in the US yet. And the reserve currency is becoming
I
a safe
love
haven
the
again.
just like the complete bait and switch and playing on total sort of economic illiteracy. You know, inflation
Yes.
in America in July was 8.5%, a fall from 9.1% the previous month. But yes, that 8.5 is a build on the previous 9.1, which means cumulatively, relative to the 2 months before that, it's almost negligible. I mean, this is how inflation works, is that it's, you know, these percentage figures become basically irrelevant at some point because you start counting by the number of extra zeros that start to show up on your notes.
Once you get like 2% to 8% is a massive like month. If that happens month after month after month, it is exponential. It's always been exponential. But at a 2% inflation over 100 years is massive. You end up with it, just becoming you eventually you do get your extra zeros. That's just how, cumulative figures work. And it is a great trick of people just forgetting that yes, this is 2% on top of all the other inflation that's ever
Yeah,
happened.
because they go on here to talk
And
about this is something even we've gone on to say. You know, America's
yeah.
central bank has also tightened monetary policy much more than its counterparts in other countries, not only by raising interest rates, but by reversing quantitative easing, in effect destroying some of the money it conjured out of the thin air earlier to fight the consequences of the global financial crisis and then the pandemic. So they're burning up decades of inflation then, is what you're telling us.
They're pulling a China. That's classic planned economy action. That's It's weird that they're just saying that because that's them admitting that to a large degree the Federal Reserve has made the US a planned economy. Because that's what China in previous decades has been criticized heavily for doing. It will create fiduciary media and sometimes on a daily basis it will destroy it if they don't think it's needed. And it creates a system where they are it's full of falsehoods, and that's what this is. It's just full of falsehoods. When the numbers get out of control, they try and put the rabbit back in the hat they pulled it out from, but it doesn't quite work like that. But it's funny them saying, "Oh yeah, Europe's collapsing faster than America, so take all your money out of Europe and put it into America," which totally won't make Europe collapse faster, and won't create that massive imbalance that the US
Yeah,
wants as things are collapsing.
it will be interesting to watch the situation if there is dollar pound parity. That might get a bit strange.
Well, we've already reached euro dollar power parity.
But that's happened before in the past, though. I don't think we've ever really had dollar pound parity in the last
No, we haven't.
30,
But
40 years at least.
we haven't seen euro dollar parity since the very early days of the euro. The euro is a quote unquote modern Eurozone political project currency. Hasn't had a dollar peg for pretty much entire history, like I said, apart from its infancy. So that has been very interesting to see. But yeah, if we end up with a pound dollar parity situation, we'll just be fucked for a huge amount of different goods that are priced in dollars. Well, everything that's priced in dollars, really.
Oh well, petrol will be over £2 a litre at that point, probably quite easily.
Yes, way over.
But it's all okay because everything is bad, but there is one good side effect to everything being bad, as far as this article tells us. So that one good thing, well, actually is something bad because of windfall taxes. So if you are one of these people who has jumped and dodged inflation by being invested in American funds or in 1 year bonds that went and got all funny price wise the other month, then you could profit. You won't be infected by inflation, except for the fact that you pay tax on your earnings.
Yeah, you'll end up with a big old windfall tax bill, because as we talked about before, as the inflation happens, the tax limits don't keep up with it. So
No.
stuff that's meant to hit quote unquote institutional investors or professional investors or whale investors or the ne forever nebulous rich end up hitting you. That's the thing is, this is always how new taxes on wealth have worked, in that they'll set low boundaries for it and inflate those boundaries so they hit the normal person. This is what happened to inheritance tax. Exactly what happened to inheritance tax. So you'll have a lot more normal retail investors, a lot more pensioners, a lot more normal people, a lot more Gen Xers as well, who may have done well out of the pandemic and may have done well out of inflation by putting it in places where inflation doesn't touch as heavily. Those people will be screwed because they're now liable to have all that taxed
Well,
because they're above an arbitrary limit that's come down to normality now.
it's just hilarious though that this is, again, this is another one of these things where we're celebrating this return that we're getting on bonds, and it's really only the case because UK bonds, as little as a year ago, were considered junk, and are now worth fivefold what they were worth before because the Bank of England forced the interest rates up.
Yes, it's completely to do with the base rate, and the problem is that the higher bond yields in a knock-on way is actually an indicator of the higher risk.
Yes.
The higher yield of a bond is generally an indicator of the higher risk of a bond. So, as we talked about earlier, a lot of the bonds that are
Well,
downstream
let's put it this
from
way. It's
these bonds.
not a bond that's paying out a dividend because there is a supposed confidence about the pound sterling in relation to other currencies.
No, it's a bond that's been artificially inflated in terms of return, and them saying it's a fivefold rise is really really funny because it's just because the rates have been below 1%. That's
Oh
all.
no, that's what I was pointing to earlier. It was 0.4% a year ago, and now it's just coming up across 2%, I believe, returns. And
Well,
then there is obviously
the
the never-ending issue of the housing market. Housing market will fall back by a decade because of higher interest rates. So what you really mean is people couldn't afford the houses they were buying.
Yes, it's well, the thing is, as inflation takes hold, level house prices lead to real term losses. So what we'll actually have is house prices decreasing. If we have ultra high inflation in 2023, we'll have house prices decreasing by up to 10% in real terms.
Yeah,
Which,
relative to wages, depending on
yes,
whether or
as
not
that.
you're someone who gets a cantillon wage or not.
Yes, which will create, again, tiers of people who do well or do worse out of this, which is very, again, deliberate, and it's very much within the UK government's control, as will be when we come to you later about them picking winners, about relief. But we're going to see a drop into negative equity in real terms. The idea that the, oh, it inflates away your debts doesn't really work when the interest rates are going up.
No.
The interest rates will have to rise again to try and counteract this spiral. They might try and falsely keep them low, would be my guess, because I don't think they can afford to get near 3%. If the interest rate gets to 3%, we're all done for.
I don't think they can actually avoid it. As they go on to say in here, one thing I find this statistic very interesting, though. There will be 150,000 fewer purchases made next year as transactions fall from 1.25 to 1.1 million. A decline of 12% and falls back to levels seen in 2013. So since 2013, nearly a decade, over 1 million houses a year have changed hands in Britain every year.
Yes.
That doesn't sound right to me. Just
No.
thinking about how serious a house purchase is, the notion of it as, it is your home, it's not just like some financial asset, which of course isn't true today. And it's the only reason why there are so many exchanges
Some
of
of
homes in such a
that's.
short period is that they are completely financialized and turned into sort of
Yes.
derivatives with bricks attached to them.
Some of that might be to do with large rental portfolios changing hands. You'll see it sometimes that a housing company will kind of write itself off, implode inwards, and do some weird shell games with its property and then start purchase them as another company. That happens relatively often in some areas. I actually think it's happened to the property where I rent my flat. That seems to be under new ownership, but not really, which is very common in the area of kind of homes of multiple occupancy stuff or homes that have been turned into flats. A lot of that might be to do with like financial shell gaming, but 1 million a year is, ridiculous what they'd refer to as velocity. That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't seem to be borne out in the real market either. I don't think 1 million people a year in terms of, actual real people buy houses. It's probably half of that. So I'd love to see the actual breakdown of who is buying and selling houses and under what circumstances. That'd be kind of
Yeah.
fascinating. But please
See,
do
that
zoom
just
in a teeny bit.
obviously that just
That's
links back to another Telegraph piece, which probably won't have a link to the statistics. They do say here though, forecasts are based on the bank rate peaking at 2.5% in early 2023, but many analysts expect a much higher peak. Markets have already priced in a rise to 3.75%, which means you can probably expect rates of 5 or 6% by the end of next year, I would presume, because it's not like. I think
No.
this has been proved by the fact that they have gone from, 0.25 to 2% interest nearly, and then the inflation hasn't gone away. People haven't stopped buying houses,
No.
just for instance. So it's not, they've not put the brakes on this thing yet. It's still got a long while to cook over before it really pops.
Well, we are entering, as we'll talk to E later, an era of price controls. And even with artificial price controls already in place, this isn't denting the inflation. Rate rises and drastic price controls haven't dented it yet. So we're going to get even more drastic rate rises and even more, as we'll come to later, drastic price controls, even though no one's really talking about them as, the dirty word of price controls. They're just taken as, relief. And the correct instrument for dealing with these crises, let's say.
Well,
But the
there's one here from the Evening Standard as well, which is an answer to a question we asked a few weeks ago when about £10 billion disappeared off the UK bond market was, oh, where did it go? Is this going to have an effect elsewhere? And then it revealed worst big city funds have lost £10 billion. It's like,
it's
oh.
amazing, it's the same figure. Who could have thunk it? God, we're just getting the financial news like a month before it really breaks, aren't we?
Pretty much.
Yeah, so the 10 worst performing big city funds have lost investors $10 billion since Christmas. And the latest blow to the reputation, this is a very interesting line, the reputation of the active investment sector. Guess who's not included in that? Is people like BlackRock, people like Vanguard. They are very much creating a situation, an imbalance where the active sector is losing out in favor of the passive
Yeah,
sector, because
extra little guy gets squashed again.
yes, while markets have been rocky, the FTSE 100 is down by only 4% this year, yet worst funds are down by more than 40% in some cases, again calling into question the value of city stock pickers against computers that just track the stock. This is such false language. What's happening is that the people who pick the stocks have an information deficit, and Aladdin as a software, which they're talking and really they're about the computers, is just Aladdin, which is BlackRock software. They are big enough that they create the market conditions. So they create the market conditions. They steer people towards marginally favorable outcomes with those market positions. And then they look better because their instruments, quote unquote, predict the market when they're really just big enough to set it. What we're talking about again is almost like a Kantian effect of information, where the people who are on top and the people who essentially generate the market, because we have this planned economy, really, are able to better vector their money into the
Just,
places where they know it's already going.
I'm just disgusted by the idea that they can casually just mention that, oh, well, we should really call into question the way in which humans make economic decisions. I know they're the only thing capable of doing it, but have you ever thought about just letting the machines do it and not caring?
Yeah. It really is just the soft like communist machine god language. They're like, look, if humans are terrible at this, why don't you just let the machine gods do it?
Yeah, why don't you just give all your money to like Barclays Investment Bank or BlackRock? That would be so much easier. Let them manage it for you. What do you mean you actually want to invest in things and move money around?
It says here that four of the bottom 10 funds came from Baillie Gifford. Many of these funds perform very well until the markets and many of the gem tomorrow stocks crashed in 2020. Funny that, eh? Someone out there is picking winners and deliberately creating a situation where what would be viable long-term investments in any other market are no
See,
longer viable.
this is one that confuses me here. The worst fund followed the ARK disruptive innovation strategy, believing that innovation centered around artificial intelligence, robotics, energy storage, DNA sequencing, and blockchain technology will change the way the world works. How are these the worst performing funds? These are literally technologies that every single government in the world has adapted over the last few years.
Well, it's because that those aren't technologies that are designed to make money. They're
No, of course
technologies
they're
that
not.
is.
That's kind of the question I'm begging, as it were.
Yeah, it really is a case of that there's this massive loss leader sector. It's like how Netflix has never made money, and this is all just horse shit. It's all just horse shit pumped into people that has no market value. There is, as we have here in Black and White, energy storage, robotics, artificial intelligence, and blockchain is a massive market loser. And if you invest in the private sector entities that try and work in those areas, you're going to lose 40% of your funds
Well, no, I
because
just, it's like the bottom line is hilarious. Tesla's one of the largest holdings in the Baillie Gifford American Fund, 9.3%, followed by the COVID success story Moderna, 6.9%, and Amazon, 6.6%. Tesla is down 19% this year, Moderna is down 46%, and Amazon down 22%. It's almost like they've invested in, as you suggested, completely unprofitable industries that maybe exist for other purposes than making people money. Just a wild thought.
Well, they didn't sell their pumpkin stocks before Halloween ended, is what's happened. They didn't
That's
sell.
also
They
true.
didn't. They didn't get the memo that we're in the blue and yellow flag era. We're not in the mask era anymore, and they didn't realize that what looks like, if you're a normal human, a genuine market trend is just the whims of whatever the elite class want the current thing to be at that particular moment.
Yep.
And maybe the people of these funds are so retarded they couldn't see that, or maybe there's a wink and a nod going on here in which they pied the piper all these retail investors into essentially keeping these things afloat, because that's a lot of what happens as well. You'll have conventional logic which throws good money after bad, because that's just what the retail investor is meant to do, and they're there as the patsies, basically. They're not there to win. Yeah, the house always wins. We have a £2 donation from JD, thank you, saying praise be to the Excel spreadsheet. All hail the hypno sheet. We have a lot to go over here, but that's the top level financial stuff that's going on at the moment.
There is another one here from Bloomberg. 6 in 10 British
Oh yeah,
factories at risk of
I
going
was trying
under as
to
bills soar.
we're going from Wall Street to quote unquote Main Street now.
Yes.
But this is the knock-on effect in that the price of energy directly affects the price of all goods. It affects the price of transport. It affects the price of employment, as people expect higher wages. It in turn causes more inflation. You end up with a negative cycle. And what they're talking about here really is just the outcome of the negative cycle, which is failure. So yeah, as you said, about 6 in 10 British factories at risk of going under as bills soar. It is tipping the spreadsheet into the red and not the black. The
Seeing
economic activity in
Aurelian,
this.
Nautius, Caesar in chat. Amazon is probably going to ride my ass for $8,000. Damn, you got one hell of an expensive ass, good sir.
Yep.
Sorry, I could
Oh no.
myself.
That's a very expensive ass.
Indeed. Yeah, someone in the chat. Britain still has factories. Indeed, we do. They just make shit. They make bottled fizzy. Is this a Lucozade factory? Is that what we're seeing here?
I'm not sure what that is. That might be the Lucozade factory, yeah. Oh no.
Yeah, bottling factory in Kegworth.
Let's have a
Another.
look.
Make UK, the lobby group for UK factories, said that nearly half of manufacturers have experienced a jump in electricity bills of more than 100% in the last year. The current crisis is leaving businesses facing a stark choice, the reporter said. Cut production or shut up shop altogether if help does not come soon. I mean, I would imagine I'm not even on Twitter, and I have seen posts from Twitter about people who own small cafes, small bistros, woodworking shops and stuff like that, and their gas and electricity bills are going up like 10x, 15x over the space of a year. And basically people who didn't put down some form of like written in stone energy contract about 3 or 4 years ago with their supplier, yeah, it's not going to go well. But that
Well,
doesn't.
some of them did do, and those are now expiring. It's very hard to find a deal
Yeah.
that's longer than
Well,
12 months.
because the other end of that problem, of course, is that if you then make a deal with the supplier 3, 4 years ago on price expectations they had then the supplier's going to get hosed over the next 2 years before they can readjust. Which means what, are some of these big energy companies themselves? I mean, I understand that they basically just exist just to be pumped full of government money anyway. But by that point,
Yes.
the notion of an energy market becomes completely laughable if it's not
Well,
already.
it is already, but we'll talk about the fact that it's going to become even more laughable once we get into the idea of a conservative government bringing in price
Because,
controls.
of course, as well, with every single one of these situations, we can presume probably, and maybe we'll look into it more at some point, that Make UK is not representing the pub on your street. Or, the people who are self-employed workers, or
No.
it'll be massive bottling factories that are run by even larger companies like Unilever and Procter and Gamble and Nestle. And it's essentially a way for these companies to throw up their hands and say, the government's going to put us out of business. We need money. We need you to help pick us, the winners.
Yes.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease, as it were.
That's the thing, that what this allows the government to do is pick which businesses live and which businesses die, which sectors live even and which sectors die. And in doing so, they become the arbiter of the market. And they don't only become the arbiter of the market, they become the giver of life and the bringer of death. They gain immense power in becoming the kind of energy broker of last resort, as we'll get to. If they do step in, as they're talking about doing, and essentially cap the energy market and subsidize it, what other people don't realize as well is all that does is create more fiduciary media. That is being paid for by debt and public debt. The mechanism used now is essentially money printing.
I mean, maybe we'll get into this further on, or maybe the propositions they have aren't as clear yet, but I don't see this being a subsidy. I don't see a subsidy solution being drawn up for this. I see some kind of energy credit solution being drawn up
Yes.
for this.
It's the same mechanism, though.
Well,
It's
not
in a
quite,
roundabout
because
way.
what it means is that then there is like an alternative sort of ticketed special currency that is used for the purchasing of energy
Oh, I see
alone.
what you're getting at. Yeah, that there might be
The
basically
same way
they
they do with
will.
the carbon credit stuff.
Yeah, they will give them essentially a central bank digital currency they can only spend on power. So they can't go and spend it on, the excuse will be, oh, the executives will just pay themselves bigger bonuses. So we'll give them special cash that can only be spent on energy. And that's how we regulate it. Oh, God, you might be right. You heard it here first, folks. Energy specific credit relief for companies that is basically a prototype for single use digital currency.
Yeah,
So.
probably. Shall we move on to some of the Guardian pieces we have now?
Well, we should do the Sky News one first quickly,
Cool.
because I think the people who will suffer the most are the individual small
Yeah.
businesses. Again, once again, as they suffered during the lockdowns, they will suffer now, possibly even greater. A lot of them are on their last legs. The big ones that we've seen have been independent cafes, independent restaurants, independent pubs who will have to shut. And the government is go doesn't have the resources to reach down and pick up each one of those people.
Yeah, there
They
you go.
did, even if they wanted to,
Energy
they don't have the
price
wherewithal.
increases of more than 300% are in danger of forcing pubs and brewers across the UK out of business in the coming months. Unlike domestic customers who are facing an 80% increase in average bills in October, businesses operate without any sort of regulated price cap, with some pub owners saying they are struggling to even find suppliers willing to power their venues when contracts come up for renewals. So it's not even a case anymore of like, oh, the supplier comes back to the business with a silly bill. The supplier basically comes back to the business and goes, we've got no electricity left.
It's not just that, it's that they will come back and say, we don't see you as a viable business anymore.
Yeah.
We're not supplying you, because they are essentially supplied on a credit agreement. That's what an electricity tariff is. It's a credit agreement, really.
Well, not entirely.
And they are no longer seen as viable businesses in the eyes of these energy companies,
Because
it looks like.
the secret thing to this that goes on with a lot of bigger businesses is that because they have more, what would be the phrase, prestige in regards to their credit and financial agreements, they actually have to, they don't pay the total bill that's on the contract most of the time. And
No.
unlike smaller businesses, they get a larger leeway for, how much they can essentially ignore and turn around and give the energy company an IOU at some point that then the energy company can sell to someone else as like, oh, well, this is that
Yeah, and
IOU from that big pub
there'll be
chain, bada bada
complex
bada.
tax write-off arrangements with these larger companies
Yeah.
too. I mean, this is coming from Greene King, JW Lees, Carlsberg Marsden, Admiral Tavern, Strachan Moore. Basically, the big boys in the sector.
Yeah.
Are, again, it's a squeaky wheel, and it's the big boys who will most likely survive. The government will come out and say, we're saving the pubs. And they'll really just save the big pubs. And then they'll say, by the way, we own you now, basically. Like,
Well, there
you
you
will
go.
do what we
The
want.
bosses who sit on the board of the British Beer and Pub Association have demanded the government implement an urgent support package that effectively caps the price of energy for businesses. What they really mean is our businesses.
Yes. And there, like you said, there will be a relief tariff based on what is considered an essential business and what isn't, I reckon. There'll be that language again. And they'll basically turn around and say, well, not every business can survive and not every business should survive. And it's another chapter on the kind of the war on the pub.
How much of this as well is finally not necessarily it running out, but the all the COVID recovery loan free money starting to come home to roost? And
Yes, a lot of it is.
these people who have basically been running pubs for the last 2 years with their hands out every month getting a payment from the government are now needing another monthly payment from the government to keep their business running. Imagine my shock.
Again, they were turned into non-viable businesses the moment the lockdowns were announced, and they will never recover. They will never get back into the black money of them, and they will never be viable again without being on the government teat.
No.
So we might end up seeing the essentially nationalization of the pub industry in many ways,
Oh,
or at least
God.
in all but name.
The NPS.
And I don't know, not to get into my essay, I think that's very deliberate, and control of like the last true open meeting space in the country is quite a powerful one.
Oh.
I also imagine the government will turn around to someone like Wetherspoons and tell them to go fuck themselves,
Yeah, no, someone in the
because
pub
they've
scene.
made it.
Just go to the Amazon pub, pleb. That's probably how it will be. You will get like the some sort of horrendous, like nationalized cheap pub aesthetic. And we all thought those like trendy BrewDog copy pubs were bad. Wait till you see what we're about to get.
Yeah, brew dogs and wine bars are a sign of a sick community. Well, that's the street corner level stuff and the town centre level stuff. But let's get back to some of the international business stuff, because something that's not been talked about enough is something that kind of comes back to the Cold War. I was joking a few weeks ago about the MiG-25, the
All right,
Foxbat,
sorry, I'll go to
and
that
about
one
it
first.
being sheet metal and not titanium. But the big thing about Russia and Ukraine, but especially Russia, is that Russia supplies the world's titanium, period. It was the same during the Cold War. That's why America had, and it was all a bit of a wink and a nod. And that's why now they're trying to keep a lid on it, but there is an urgent, dire level titanium shortage. They can't build aircraft anymore. Like they can't build and service aircraft anymore. It's getting to that point. Here's an article from Aviation Online, which is hinting at this. They're talking about the shortage of aircraft is meaning that the lease rates for the Boeing fleet is being put up, because they really don't have any competition. And buried in here, is a line near the middle of the article saying, in addition to sanctions imposed on Russia following its invasion of Ukraine last February, that led to the shortage in supply of titanium, a crucial metal for aircraft manufacturing, a kind of perfect storm in between the beginning of the recovery, but not without its difficulties. So they're referencing there the dire titanium shortage, which I think is one of the main reasons for this. Also, the remobilization hasn't been very successful. The airlines, once again, effectively became defunct businesses once the lockdowns happened, and they have once again been on the government teat ever since. And they are now wholly reliant on government support, which is as we've talked about, a very negative situation for all business to be in. It means that they have to toe the line or they go under. And we'll see, I think, the weaponization of the kind of carbon credit, energy credit system against nominally dissident, or what they would consider even just unnecessary
Every
businesses.
single one of these things that we have looked at so far, though, all point towards the consolidation of that specific industry under the remit of the people who own the capital in the industry. Not to get all Marxist all of a sudden, but if you're Delta Airlines and you own your own planes, there's at least one step of the problem that you can sort of work out. You're not then having to go to like the lease people that then have their own service people that then they need to get, titanium parts from a supplier that then, so on and so forth. You're at least cutting a couple of the chains up there on the way, and you're probably paying a lot less for
Yes.
upkeep. And you can probably also write the what would be the phrase? I've forgotten the word now. You could probably write in its appreciation completely differently as well. And also,
You could do.
if you're Delta Airlines, you can just decide to sell 10% of your fleet to one of your, competitors for a complete arm and a leg.
As Goose points out in the chat, which is true, most airlines have leant towards cargo during the lockdowns.
Yeah.
Anchorage is the most busy it's ever been, which is true, but that's also meant those old aircraft are subject to refit and wear. And it also means that they are picking up the slack of what's happened in the shipping world, where basically all the shipping fleets have collapsed because they've become too decrepit. Because it turns out, grown in, what was it, like grown in Canada, like packaged in the Philippines and then sold in the UK is not a profitable business off
Well, that and also
model. It never
running
has been.
complex several kilometer seafaring machines out of nations like Thailand and Bangladesh isn't a sustainable business model. Who'd have
No,
thought
that there have been huge pressures on the airline industry as its revenues have effectively fallen. It's
Hmm.
not. Again, though, the haulage stuff and the supply chain stuff, again, forces them more into the hands of government or kind of supranational organizations, because once again, they get to pick the winners. And as they meddle more in the energy sector and they meddle more in the planning of supply chains, it becomes a self-sustaining engine in which they remove the last vestiges of even the appearance of market from all of this.
Well, I think as well, this, things that this continue to confirm the agenda that has been clear since even prior to COVID, but has really been formalized and become more obvious and publicly noticeable. Oh, well, we now put carbon credit sort of counting things on plane tickets. You've got to, when you buy your plane ticket, it tells you how much CO2 you're putting out. We want to dissuade people from flying, so we're going to have all these nudge unit things about holidaying in Britain, and oh, we have lockdown, and all of a sudden quarantine, and it becomes almost impossible to fly internationally. And then we go to war with a nation that supplies many of the parts for building plane engines. What a coincidence!
It is very, oh, it's a perfect storm. Yeah, it's an engineered storm, it seems like. I wonder though if they have, I don't know how much stock there is in terms of military use though. Because if shit goes sideways and they have to try and God forbid use the F-35s, they lose a number of those and they can't remanufacture them.
No.
Where's the titanium going to come from? How are they going to build all these complex machines that they've that are effectively just giant inflation burning pits? I mean, did the people like we said before, do people really think it costs £3 million to make a single warhead?
Well,
Do
no,
they actually think that?
this is what happens when you have so much, not even miscalculation, but complete and utter lack of economic calculation. These things all just become credit and profit instruments that manipulate the chain of production so that you can fart out some sort of thing that looks a bit like a plane, provides basically no use to anyone that's any form of sort of entrepreneur of leader in any real sense, and then just is used for PR campaigns.
Well, as we keep pointing out, unreality can't continue forever, and the arse has to fall out of it. And the bigger the bubble, the bigger the contraction. It's very, very basic stuff, but we'll just keep repeating it because it's true. All of this is a sign of complete sickness, and it all has to end somewhere. And when it
Oh.
starts going the other way, it won't stop.
Not to completely derail the conversation, but I forgot to mention it last week. If people weren't aware, I appeared on Pete Q's show to do
Oh, of course, yes.
Reading of AA's book. I was lucky enough to get to read the Sam Francis chapter, arguably one of the best ones, of course. Not just because I read it, but
But because Sam Francis, yes.
yes, but because Sam Francis. So I will quickly post a link in that for the chat if anyone wants to have a look at it, and I'll allow you to go back to what you're talking about.
Yeah, have a look at it afterwards. Don't leave, please. But I was going to lead into the fact that we'll talk about. I think we could lead into the Liz Truss stuff with the BBC News article actually, when it talks about the energy bills freeze. Because really, that is the nod that this is just the policy. She is going to introduce the policy that anyone would have introduced. This will be the same conversation that Keir Starmer would be having if he somehow became Prime Minister. This is just the policy, and it will be implemented by the technocrat and the leader. And no matter what happens, you will always have these. There's always going to be a price cap
Of
because they've
course.
made people cry out for it.
No, entirely. It's. I think I don't think either of us would really stand in any other position the fact that there is an engineered collapse going on. And I think the only real question is Liz Truss basically just been put in to bundle policy over this winter so that the British population has another reason to hate their own kind.
I don't think it will be quote unquote bungle. What she's going to do for the energy sector, what Boris Johnson did with the lockdowns, in that she'll come out, announce what is necessary in quotes. The left will criticize her for not going far enough. There'll be some quiet hand wringing on the supposed right of the party about how this isn't really conservative, but it's kind of necessary. And well, what else are we going to do? And it will be brought into the idea of the situation that there is with Russia and Ukraine, the situation that there is with the green energy stuff, the situation that there is with the inflation and the money printing and the financial stuff is just neutral reality. And this is really our only option. We are merely responding to emergent phenomenon by the only means
Well,
we
yeah,
can, and that means
the
is
energy
complete
market just
cap.
crashed, guys. It
Yeah,
was
the
just
energy market collapsed.
unsustainable, guys. I mean, come
Yeah.
on.
Of course, this is all reinforcing messaging they've been doing for years about fossil fuels being unsustainable. It really does feed into that narrative that they have done this deliberately. They have antagonized and effectively gone to war with Russia, the biggest energy supplier in the world. And they are now saying, well, looks like energy is unaffordable after all, guys, because climate change. And it becomes, it's very obvious. I don't think anyone who's particularly switched on believes it, but there's not really a lot you can do about it. That is the point, really. I think it's contained in the Guardian article you've got up here too, but she is going to, it's very been heavily hinted to all the media that new Prime Minister Liz Truss expected to freeze energy bills. I don't know if it'll be frozen for businesses, and like you said, they will probably use it to pick winners, but she's going to bail the people out. You're
Yes.
going to be bailed out. She's going to
Well,
freeze your energy
it's
prices.
also the very false opposition to green policy. One
Yeah.
of Truss's few direct policies in the cost of living would be to suspend green levies on energy bills, which are used to invest in renewable schemes. She opposes onshore wind farm. Or onshore wind and describes seeing solar farms on land as one of the most depressing sights of modern Britain. I don't even think I've seen a solar farm in British land yet, but I'm sure Liz Truss was there when the Tory party opened the fucking thing in the first place.
It's the fake opposition again. It's the 5% from the 100%. She's 95% on board. And as the other, just to flick over to the other article there that we've talked about before, the reason that she can't do anything about this is court orders UK government to explain how net zero policies will reach targets. Basically, the UK courts have told the government that they can't perform policy because they are locked into a promise.
Well, this is also the classic sort of bait and switch we get whereby the extreme, the net zero policy, that's the way to go. That's what's offered to us. And oh, then someone comes around and has to be the moderate and says, well, net zero is just not going to work. So what we need is a reformed green policy. And then
Yes. And that.
they come from level 10 to level 9 on the intensity scale, and we go, oh, thank God, there's a moderate in
And that will
charge.
be lampooned and decried as a radical rightward movement.
Yep.
And presented as the most extreme kind of anti-climate change case there can be, which is nine tenths the way to net zero, which is completely impossible. It's
Well, that's
thermodynamically impossible.
yeah, JD in the chat there. Say the U-turn, or sorry, we super chat for Fiverr. Thank you, JD. Say the U-turn and start mining fracking. Would it arrive in time to make a difference this autumn winter, or is it too late for a short-term fix? You couldn't even find the people nor the tools required to start new mining and fracking operations within the next year, or within the next year, I would reckon.
No, you couldn't get the permits to start finding the
I
people
was gonna
who
say,
would then start raising the money to
that's what I'm
do
saying.
that within 18 months.
Even if in theory there was this whole U-turn, the nature of how shoddy actual people with professional real world skills is, and furthermore the equipment you need for it and the raw materials required to build that equipment, there is a reason why fracking and mining operations nowadays are pretty much government programs. Because it is only with the lack of cost calculation that you can even make it seem like a feasible idea.
There's also just the inbuilt like NGO in inertia there, in that any attempt to have a reversal will inevitably be met by these professional activists
Oh,
who
of
never
course.
see prison time, chaining themselves to it like it's Greenpeace,
Well,
like they're saving the last forest
we
in
talked about it
Fern Gully.
before, the fact that they're shutting off viable oil pipelines in the North Sea because the UK government's windfall tax has made it unprofitable to pull it out of the ground.
They're also shutting off oil pipelines that the other oil pipelines that are still viable, because the Scottish government screwed the pooch so badly with
I just I'm
nationalizing
seeing
it.
to someone in chat there, life sentence 2278. I work in the US oil field. They cancelled all of the federal leases. Oh my.
They did. That was a Biden policy, basically.
That can't
They
be
basically
good.
said you. They basically came out and said you can't drill oil on federal land anymore, or at least they will phase it out. Like that has been policy for quite a long time.
Oh, is this the, is this, oh, was this the no more new wells thing?
Yes,
Right, I
no
thought
more new
maybe
wells on federal land.
I read that as if it was like existing ones were getting shut
Oh no
down or
no the
something.
leases are still ongoing, but the renewal of them has been cancelled basically. All the federal leases are no longer coming up for renewal. They're basically done. Yeah, it was all yeah. Well, this But Yiz says it's true. It was all halted. This happened last year.
Right. Well, see, that was the thing I meant earlier on, though, in regards to the Guardian to the Telegraph article we're reading, where it was like, oh, well, you know, people invested in these American gas funds and these American bonds, they're going to see returns even during inflation. It's like, well, not for long.
Well, we'll come down here in the other the original Guardian article about policy, in that it's all everything they have to say about here is very tepid. Even even the Guardian has very tepid things to say. They say Liz Truss has received relatively little scrutiny over her plans for the NHS and care, especially given the crisis, which is taken as a given now. The NHS is
Is
in
this
a
under the health and social
and
care
social
section
yeah.
yet?
The NHS is seen as a entity of permanent existential crisis that we must all sacrifice ourselves to keep alive.
It's the
At the altar of the
bronzest.
health.
It is the bronzest of cows. Or,
Yes, it is. Problems with delayed ambulances, blah blah blah. It's amazing what happens when you completely retool
God, I've just
a health
noticed the
service to.
look at how therapeutic their suggestion is here. Much of the problems with the delayed ambulances are because hospital beds are filled up with people unable to access social care. There's not enough state involved in these people's lives. They must be
Yeah.
fixed.
It really is saying that we'd have less hospital beds if you would build hospital pods in the community. Or these horrible, like weird care homes that non-elderly people are forced to live in.
It's just like the laughable stuff, you know, where Truss has promised to reverse the national insurance rise aimed at providing cash firstly to help the COVID exacerbated backlog of NHS procedures. National insurance money's not going to someone that actually works at the NHS to pay for anything. The paperwork to do so would cost more than the bloody national insurance you were paying in itself. I mean, what is like the public's idea of this? Like, what I know, me and you enjoy. Maybe we'll try this one on at the pub at the weekend. You know, ask someone at the public. So, when you pay your national insurance, does the government take that money out of the bank, put it in an envelope, mail it to the NHS, and say, you know, oh, spend this on plasters? You know, what do people actually think goes on between the national insurance leaving their bank account and the service being provided by the NHS.
It's almost like the airplane problem. It doesn't travel anywhere. It's an illusion. They
Yeah.
don't actually move you. They just make airplane noises, and
Again,
you wake up in a different set.
change the chip in your matrix fucking
Well,
framework or
it is
whatever.
the
It
what
was.
happens is that the NHS will always spend more than, it runs at a deficit
Yeah.
basically, and all gets written off at the end of the year.
Well, see, this
So they will
is.
basically spend whatever they think they need, and then at the end of the year they'll go, "Oh, we spent this much. Ooh, budgets. Ooh," and they'll have a big pantomime about it.
Well, no, it's something I actually tried to bring up to lots of people at Mises U over the week when they were talking about like economics and all the, obviously the government can't print money forever, and it's like, well, if people don't lose confidence in the currency, and they think the system's a closed system, then they can kind of just print money forever. As long as they burn up enough of it, which they've admitted they're doing in the Telegraph article we had, or sorry,
Yeah.
it was a Telegraph article we had earlier on. So they've admitted to the fact that this is how the system works. They print money into
It's
it and they burn it up on the other end to stop it inflating more than it otherwise is. And I kept trying to say to
it's
these people,
very we'll just
stop.
tell people we made the pizzas.
Yeah,
It's like the economic version of that.
stop telling. Or stop assuming that the system has to function on this closed financial loop. I think it's the most naive thing ever to believe at this point that like somebody does all the numbers and then they print up the deficit. No, they just, basically print up money at the Bank of England on daily order requests for whatever they
Arguing
need.
about government debt and arguing about the unknowable numbers is, again, it's the economic equivalent of arguing about the sixth gorillion. Ultimately, you'll never get anywhere because it's all kind of arbitrary, and numbers are just plucked out of the air in general. That's the way it always works. Government statistics like that, economics is like that. They're in control. They have an opaque system. You're not privy to it. Nobody's privy to it because it's easier just to pretend it works than to make it work.
Well, no, because
If
I.
there is no market, why would you track it like a market?
Yeah, no, I put something up on a Telegram earlier on today. There is now a new vaccine rollout program. These new variant busters, as they're
Yeah.
calling them, that are specifically directed to the
Big
vulnerable
bazookas.
and those over the age of 75. It is a fifth or sixth vaccine for some people. And someone in the Telegram chat was like, "Oh, well, yeah, it's about getting rid of the unfunded liabilities." It's like, screw the fucking unfunded liabilities. They'll just print that. It's about destroying the heritage and the generations of elderly people in Britain first and foremost. I mean, this is the thing that maybe some of the people who haven't gone back and watched some of our stuff in a democratization series, where I don't think we ever maybe consciously said it, but we showed that, once you've won the economic battle, once you have the logistics of the society in your midst, then you can do what you please. You don't have to care about economics anymore, and then you
The
can
yeah
just
the economic
wreak cultural havoc. And that's what this stuff is about. It's not about Tory party members squirreling away a few quid with a PPE contract. That's just a side effect. It's the social and cultural destruction first and foremost that we should be concerned about.
anyone should realize who's following this that any pretense of a balance sheet existing died in 1971, and that the monetization is this is what a monetized economy is. It is fictitious numbers, and it is, well, we sort it out with imaginary debt numbers later. That has been policy since the Great Depression, really. Arguably since about 1924. We talk about democratization, arguably since the creation of the Federal Reserve, and arguably since the creation of the Bank of England. That's the article we've already essentially gone over, is
Oh, sorry,
the Liz Truss.
I didn't have it up on screen before. I was still looking at the
Oh, it's fine. The Guardian
Guardian
article
one.
covers it basically in the same way because we have the Omni Media.
Ah, what do you telling me the Guardian, the BBC write the same stuff? And
But this is just basically it's a primer to say, I know Liz Truss hasn't taken office yet, but we know what her policies will
Oh
be
yeah, this was
because they are
the
the Omni
5-point
policy.
AP article that everyone read 2 days ago and
Yes.
thought, well, they're right, here's time to write your 800-word piece on this.
Well, what will happen is that the government will have put something out before this because the civil service will have will have checked with whoever the handlers are
Should we
of
tune
the
into
Conservative Party.
PM Truss's addressing the energy crisis?
Oh no, do we have to?
No, of course we're not. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna get the people who wrote Rings of Power to rewrite the laws of thermodynamics, and then there won't be an energy crisis anymore. Problem solved.
Yeah, we'll. Oh God, there's still. We'll get the black people out of Tolkien, and then magically, like the managerial nightmare will end.
Yeah, where's Neil deGrasse Tyson when you need him?
Yeah, he just needs to say that it's true, and it is true. We need
Yeah.
black science guy with his black science
Well,
magic.
energy, right, if we just make energy deficits racist, then no one will run an energy deficit anymore, right?
Just tell the energy deficit no. As we were told last weekend, just refuse to be an energy deficit. You've got to identify as a country with lots of energy. Use the postmodernism against them, guys. Anyway, but back in the bold action, difficult times. Yeah, the subheadings. It's all, again, it's all very, we do what we must. It's essentially a furlough for energy bills.
Yeah,
The energy
Federation of
bills are being
Small
furloughed.
Businesses Chairman Martin McTague, Christ, I hope he's Irish, said soaring energy bills must be addressed urgently. Hey, you, energy bills, stop going up.
Like I said, the issue is that nobody is talking about the fact that this creates a. It's price controls. It
Yeah.
is pure price controls.
Well, because
It's.
we are as a nation well beyond the notion that anything is even vaguely capitalist these days.
No. How it, this is just the BBC in a very neutral way saying that the Conservative Party is going to end the illusion of the energy market.
Well, anyone with more than about 3 weeks of training in economics knows exactly what's going to happen here. Because the demand for energy at Christmas, around that period, is not going to go down. If
No.
the government says the price can't go up, then people are going to at least project to use as much energy as they would have last year, maybe minus a small margin. However, if the cap could actually be moved, instead of, there being a massive shortage because people are using energy at a price where, say, they think is acceptable to use 10 units of energy at £10 a unit, whereas the company would actually rather sell you 2 units of energy at £40 a unit or whatever silly rate they would actually have to do it to be profitable, then there's a problem there. Either the energy companies have to completely go under, which isn't going to happen, or you're going to have to ration energy by some form of digital control grid kind of system. Funny
There,
that.
yeah, this the as you talked about this won't this will just increase demand because the one saving grace of energy bills going completely insane would be that you will actually have to have a price drop at some point. There will
Yes.
have to be a back end to it. Reality will have to assert itself, and you will end up in a market condition where energy is no longer affordable, and it will start having to go down. This just builds into the British energy system, high prices.
Well, no, it's very simple. You can tell us that, oh, well, you can't charge more than £200 for a kilowatt of natural gas energy. But if it costs £400 to get that kilowatt's worth of energy out of the ground, it doesn't really solve the problem there, does it?
No. Glow in the Dark has donated $5, saying if we just redefine our words and our understanding of what is of what it is we can and can't do, whatever we want, because any problem is just a problem of how the terms are defined. Well, that's really just what they're doing here. They're redefining the terms, and what's going to happen is that the big energy companies or the energy companies they picked as winners will come to the government cap in hand and say, look, we've kept our part of the deal, we've kept the prices low, you have to keep us afloat in the energy market. And that also again builds into the energy market, this idea of they can just make up the price, but that doesn't work. They've recently, the reason that Nord Stream has been cut off is they've gone to Russia and said, right, this is what we're paying you for oil, and Russia's just gone, no, like we have the oil, we have the gas, you will pay us or you will freeze and die.
I have to.
And they've chosen to freeze and die.
I can't help but notice the deadly quake rocks Chinese city in lockdown. I think you find that's a rock down.
Oh, no. Poor Chinese rock down.
No, it's you know, it reminded me actually of Burnham's Suicide of the West and the way he talks about Americans on both sides of the aisle trying to deal with the USSR and the fact that their attitude to it was essentially one of a complete and utter want to like engage in some sort of Western euthanasia across the entire of its society. And that seems exactly the case just now. It's like every single thing they could do to fix any problem. Not that you can necessarily fix things with public policy, but I think you can at least make some of them a lot less worse. Have, not only have they not done that, they have actively taken every step they can to make the problems on every single front worse than they otherwise would have been.
Yes, this is a deliberate or otherwise an exacerbation. As we've talked about, managerial problems don't have managerial solutions. You just end it with more managerialism. It's part of, well, part of it is that there's a large mass of non-ruling technocrats, as I talked about in my technocrats essay, in the middle that are generating this exponential amount of policy and rule
I also
and
see
process.
Goib and you in chat. What do you think will happen to the just don't pay our energy bills, bro? People, every single one of them will shit the bed when at the end of October they get a letter from their energy company saying we're sending debt collectors to your door.
Well,
Which
what will happen is
basically what
before
I'm saying
that,
is,
though.
I'm in about 2 weeks' time, I'm going to start applying for jobs to be a debt collector because that's going to be a booming industry.
Well, what will happen to them is they'll not pay their first couple of bills, and then they'll get a call from whoever provides their car loan and say, "We've noticed your credit rating has gone down 300 points. If you check your agreement, if your credit rating goes down, we can charge you more a month." And they'll shit themselves for that. Like they don't. I don't think they realize, especially people who rely heavily on credit, how fucked they will be. Like they won't be able to remortgage their houses. They won't be able to do things like equity release if they're older people. If you're somebody who's in a situation where you're completely reliant on credit instruments, and the energy companies go and
Not
completely
just,
destroy your credit rating,
I would
you're
say, not
basically
just
done.
instruments, but you are relying specifically on one metric, your credit score.
Yes. If credit score go down, oh no, life ruin, basically.
Well, no, I think this is why I'm more happy to consider that there is some sort of scheme going on here to, further shake up the way in which energy is distributed amongst Western nations, and I say specifically distributed because it will not be sold, it will not be exchanged, it will be distributed, and it'll be distributed by
Yes.
some form of central body, because they aren't going to starve us or freeze us all to death. They're not stupid,
No.
and I think this is the thing some people fall into the trap of.
Well, the threat is the thing. It's the you will accept our solution or you will freeze and starve to death. That is the big thing here.
Shall we then, while we've got, say, a last 20 minutes or so, have a look at the O collapse or the MIC collapse? I don't know what would be the best way to refer
I
to
believe the term is Spudacoust.
it.
We had a brief look. This started as you looking at some of the EU farming policy, which is ubiquitous. The Dutch farmers and the Belgian farmers, and to an extent the French and German farmers, have been the headline story. But Ireland has put in place a policy basically about unused land,
Well, yeah,
about
it's I've got the thing here.
non-residential land.
Beggars' belief that Irish farmers will be charged on agri land. The Irish Farming Association has said that it's beggars' belief that farming land has been included in a newly proposed tax on idle lands, unless owners use it to build housing. At the end of June this year, the government announced a new residential zoned land tax, which will come into effect from 2024. Linked to the government's Housing for All plan, the self-stated goal of the tax is to penalise owners of zoned land unless they use it to increase housing supply and to ensure regeneration of vacant and idle lands in urban locations. There's no such thing as urban locations. It's fucking Ireland. But this is something that I noticed a few people have been on for the last few months, especially people local to Ireland. This Housing for All plan, which is a complete and utter manifesto for land reform and a proper, you know, communist vein. And
it's a Zimbabweization.
Yes, to borrow that phrase from Marrowbone or whatever. I used to have him on Twitter, but I've not talked to him in ages. He used to talk about the things, the Zimbabwification, always thought was a great fucking
phrase. Both Zimbabwification and Brazilification, because what they're also doing, Brazilification is an old one. I remember hearing that was that's like an old 4chan poll thing.
Yeah,
it's Brazilification, but it's a large scale demographic dilution in which you create an underclass is Brazilification. But the Zimbabwification is land reform. But they're having both. As we'll go into after this, what's the pretext for this is a housing shortage.
Well, it's to do with homelessness. It's not... If you go and read a lot of their stuff on it, there is diversity and inclusion stuff involved in the rhetoric, but there is no specific statement about immigration.
No, there isn't. But this is all this is all done on the pretext of a population boom generated housing crisis. That there is there's more people than there are houses in Ireland. That's a massive problem. Therefore, we need drastic land reform actions to settle it.
But there's not anything like more mouths to feed or anything like that.
No. that's the logic that's left out of it here. And that
it's very almost anarcho tyranny. And that your government strips you of the ability to produce food in your own nation. Fair enough. We will get our food from elsewhere. Oh, by the way, fuel costs, shipping and logistic costs. Don't you know there's a war on? There's a wheat shortage. There's a fertilizer shortage. So, you know, you can't go grow food in other countries. And you can't grow food in your own countries. Because, you know, that this combination of two different vectors of progressive policy that completely contradict each other.
Imagine you're some not plugged in farmer. You live out in the middle of nowhere on the edge of a small town, maybe, and you have a long strip of land that goes to the edge of the town, and you farmed it for generations. You know, your grandfather farmed it, his father before him farmed it, and you are a proper salt of the earth farmer in Ireland. I don't know how common that is, but it's more common than it is over here, from what I can ascertain from the people I've spoken to.
Part of the thing is because of the urban restriction. What it means is if you are, you know, if you live in a small village and you own a small cow farm on part of that village, now counted as urban idle land and it needs a housing estate.
Yeah, that's the point. What happens is you might not follow the news and you might not know what's going on, but one day you wake up and half of your farm has been rezoned as residential land and you are now subject to an absorbent residential land tax. And either you are forced to sell that land to developers who, by the way, know you are desperate and know it's been rezoned, so you'll have to sell it for an absolute pittance. You either sell your land to developers or your business overnight becomes financially unviable because you have narrow margins already and you're now paying massive tax.
How recent was it that we did our little deep dive on rewilding that became extremely eye-opening? 6-7 months ago? And then I'm watching, I'm sure there'll be a few people in the chat, this is something I talked to someone at Witan about actually, Harry Metcalf, ex-owner of Evo magazine a number of years ago, does all sorts of stuff on YouTube about cars, this and the next thing, but he also runs a farm. And on his farm, for the last few years, he has rented a number of fields from his neighbours because the rent they can charge to him to produce wheat or rapeseed oil or some other crop on that field is profitable. It is one of the best things it can do for the field without having to invest in the capital to harvest grain or something like that on the field themselves. Which is, that's how natural resources work in the economy. You lend them out to someone else that has a secondary level of capital needed to transform the land, and then they make use of it, pay a dividend to you. However, he now can't use his neighbor's field because his neighbor is now getting more money by handing the
It's
field over
been
to the government.
rewilded.
Yep, as part of a rewilding scheme, and this was only as of 2 or 3 weeks ago. So this
Oh,
stuff,
good Lord.
as I'm saying, that this stuff that we've been talking about as recent as the start of this year is coming into fold already in the space of like not even a full season's harvest. Farmers across Britain are going, well, the guy across the street or the guy across the road from me used to rent my field and he paid, whatever a year, but now I get paid a dividend on top of that because the government at least guarantees the rent you were getting before as part of the policy. Plus extra if you decide to keep that land on as part of a rewilding scheme in future.
Where's the David Dees image with like the Terminators keeping you off the rewilded land? Because that's how, I remember when we found that during the rewilding stream, and it was just it's hilarious. I don't think I have it in hand. Like, I've been frantically searching for it,
Let
but I
me have a
can't.
look and I might be able to find that.
But yeah, there's a great one. Like, it seemed ridiculous, and then you see the reality of it. But that's yeah, they are stuck between. There's the retirement fund for basically papping independent farmers off the land in favor of larger commercial farmers. There was the rewilding project, and now we see the rezoning stuff that's happening in Europe and elsewhere. It's happening in the UK to an extent too, with the removal of greenbelt protections, where you have farm arable land is being deliberately driven out of the hand of farmers, so that you cannot have nations that have any level of food self-sufficiency anymore. Like what happened with Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is a good example of that. That they went from being a kind of a nominal Belt and Road state, and then they overnight became an IMF vassal state. They switched from one kind of global wannabe hegemon to the actual global hegemons, as we talked about during those streams, through this mechanism of their food supply being completely destroyed by the organic lobby, as it were, and these prototyping ideas of non-chemical farming that their economy was not compatible with at the time, and the amount of people they had in their country was not compatible with at the time. That is a very poignant demonstration of what can happen when the food sector collapses and you have expensive imports like we do now. What you do is you end up with a country that has a government that begs the IMF and the World Bank and will do anything it can, implement any policy to try and get food on the table for its citizens. And again, that's an extremely powerful position for an international body to put a country in. Why wouldn't they do that?
Oh, sorry,
So
I'm trying to look for the David Dees image.
it doesn't matter.
I think I'm round about where it was.
It's a great image though, but it's the truth. We stumbled on that, and I think that might end up coming a talking point over the next maybe 6 months. I haven't seen it talked about
Oh, here we go,
again
I found
widely
it.
yet, but the rewilding stuff is one to keep an eye on in the UK and in Europe in general. But the deliberate reduction of usable arable land has been a huge feature. It's been justified in Belgium under the auspices of climate change and cow farts. The CO2 that meat produces. Yeah, there we go. Just zoom in a bit. It's a great one. Yeah, Earth Inc. Wildlands, human access denied. But that's th this is what rewilding is. It very much. It's like all the jokes. Oh, you can't build a pond, and you can't pave over the horrible stagnant pond in your back garden because, like, the fucking three-toed panda newt that doesn't want to live anymore and we're keeping on life support lives in it. Therefore, the government now owns your backyard.
Well, the green state will be supported by the security state.
Yes.
The one will not be separate from the other, hence the barcode and the guy's hand here.
As things get really bad, if I don't think they have the wherewithal to keep things within a controlled collapse forever. If things start getting really bad and people in Britain have to start and going out and hunting meat, God forbid again, they'll have people essentially being arrested for foraging on the rewilded land. That is where we are now. So you can't pick the berries. This is rewilded.
No,
This
I'm
is
just
the King's Land, don't
before I
you
forget
know?
as well, I remember you got some graphs up. I'm gonna skip the middle graph because I think the first and the third one on their own are hilarious. So
Yes. Well, the Irish building boom is pretexted on a population boom. But if you have read anything about Ireland since 2008, you'll know that they have a massive emigration problem and they have a massive fertility problem. So here we go.
Yeah, for fertility rate down, population rate go up. If people can't hear, I'm scratching my head. I can't work out how to solve this problem.
The
Where
fertility rate has,
did
yeah,
all the
the
people
fertility
come
rate,
from if there was no babies being born?
the fertility rate has gone down by 75%, and the population has gone up by 50%. Well, actually, more like 60%. Does not compute.
Well, I don't know if anyone else has seen the stuff that floats about on Telegram sometimes. You will have essentially seen the youth race wars that happened in Ireland with gangs of hundreds of youths cycling en masse through large city centres to basically have like large ethnic gang fights.
Ethnic gang
I have
fight,
to say,
ethnic gang fight.
Glow in the Dark has been very generous this evening. He's given us
I
two
will.
more chats here.
I will. I think he's given us three more at some point, so I'll actually have to go through and read them because I think we've. I think I've missed a couple of them because the
There's
Streamlabs
just
back end has been a bit strange.
we've got the other ones. It's these last two here.
Okay.
They would rather the plebs die than admit their way of doing things is wrong. See our comment earlier on and the fact that I don't think they want to just kill the plebs. They probably do what California does, screw everyone not in the big cities unless they are part of the right crowd. Oh, of course. And then what's his other one he
Yes.
put? If the farmer targeting works, dog catch will no longer be needed because people will take care of it. Oh, I entirely.
It's gonna get again Zimbabweification. There's some great stuff from South Africa and some of the reserves. And there was this guy doing this documentary about ooh, these terrible hunters who pay tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds to hunt like a sick elephant or something. And this gamekeeper's going like, look, this is how the reserve system gets funded. Go to Zimbabwe and ask them about what game they have because they fucking ate it all because they don't have any money. Shut up, basically.
Yeah. See,
Try
as
and find
well,
a zebra in fucking Zimbabwe.
I think this whole Irish thing is also a fantastic example to. He won't be watching this, but Jeff Dice,
Yeah.
if you ask what would happen to Scotland without the UK, it would be this. It
Yeah,
would
they
probably
would.
be even worse than what's going on in Ireland just now. Yeah,
It
Ireland
would be
has
a lot
its
worse.
largest population increase since 2008, in a period, as we noticed previously, that fertility rates are continually falling, sorry, as immigration reached a 15-year high. Oh, so it was immigration. That was it. Oh, how
Well,
did I not work
there's
that out?
all these stories that you see throughout the period of. Here's one from 31st of August, News Talk. The quality of life here is eroding. We are facing a new. Are we facing a new generation emigration? Because it's not talked about anymore, really, for some reason. But after the financial crisis, Ireland lost all its young people.
Oh no,
The
I
same
tell
thing
you,
happened
do you
to
know where they all are?
Portugal.
They're all in bloody Manchester, Stirling, Birmingham, and other big universities in the UK. You got a university in the UK, but at least 10 or 15% of the students that are
Yeah.
there are Irish because they get treated as EU students, which mean they get charged a full whack. But because they're white, they also pass. So they basically get priority.
Again, it's the same thing that happens to all of these EU states when they become these weird kind of imbalanced states. The same thing happened to an extreme degree to Romania. To the point they didn't have enough bodies to do work there anymore, enough able bodies to do work. I witnessed this firsthand when I worked over there. That you know, I spoke to some of the guys who spoke English and some of the project managers, and they're like, we just the wages in the UK are so much higher that we have lost a good chunk of our able-bodied men in this country, and it's been a disaster. And it's not the same in Ireland because Ireland doesn't really have that much hard industry. But really, what they've done is all the studenty students, all the citizen of the world thinking people have just left. They have just left Ireland, and in their place has been brought the new Irish. But
Yep.
apparently, that doesn't really work because Ireland is having just huge problems with all its traditional industries, and farming is essentially being phased out in Ireland. Ireland has, it has been
God.
decided, is going to be another
The
kind
bit at
of.
the bottom here, whoever they're talking to, Mr. Power, whoever that is, he
Yeah.
called for an intergenerational equity and fairness commission to come up with ways to ensure older generations can help build a brighter future for their younger counterparts. I don't even want to think about what that entails.
That's like a struggle. That's like struggle sessions in nursing homes.
The great leap forward as we genocide all the old people and steal their houses.
Basically, yeah. Oh dear. Well, there's a Reuters one here just from 2013 about Ireland's working emigrants reluctant to return. They talked about the fact that there was mass emigration. A lost generation since from 2008. They, none of them see possibilities of going home. There aren't the jobs there anymore because their jobs have been filled by non-Irish immigrants. And this is a cycle that's continued endlessly in Ireland, to which it's become this great diaspora nation. But the actual island itself is dead. Again, there's a lot of states in the EU that are becoming like this. Holland is becoming like this. Brussels and Belgium is already
I
largely
see the
like
example in
this.
this article. Toby Gilbert and his wife, the two doctors, were among almost 50,000 Irish people who left the country permanently last year. Good thing they've imported some new doctors.
Yeah, some dinghy doctors.
The health sector is an especially acute example of where the severe cutbacks that followed a spending spree during the Celtic Tiger boom years have led to an exodus of often dejected doctors. Almost one in 10 emigrants has qualified or worked in the health and social work sector, as UCC's study said. That's why the bloody nurses over here are Irish if they aren't African. But it's funny to see how these sort of, like, as you're saying, like these slightly verge of second world European nations that are on the periphery basically just become these like zombie nations kept alive by like public
Zombie.
health
Zombie
infrastructure,
nation.
and that's about
It really, that's. Well,
it.
that it's the it's what Americans would call the mulattification of, it happens to states. States get like this, and where they bus in, tens of thousands of Mexicans, and you end up in a situation where the state is no longer recognizable electorally, demographically, or culturally. And it makes them less powerful. It means they have no culture to pull on. It means that they are just not a people anymore. And it's happening, right, it's happening all over the EU. France has had it in waves for many, many years. That's why France is such a fucking mess. But Germany had a large taste of it with the migrant crisis and, what people refer to as Merkel's folly, even though it was very planned. And we obviously had it under Blair, where we had this, 10 to 15% of the population change and be brought in as this massive crowbar to break open the country and allow areas to become enclaves and allow more of this to happen. It's a lot of people talk about demographics of destiny and all that stuff, but they don't understand how the pipeline works. They don't understand that this first has to be done to you by your own countrymen, and that the people in charge aren't the migrants.
No.
It's I there's so many people who do not understand what is being done and do not understand that their idea of we will just have white babies is ridiculous because they are not in power and they do not have access to the elite power structures. And the people who do are actually generally, it's decreasing now, but they are generally still, British natives as they were. It is still the white people who are in charge. People just don't want to admit that their country wasn't subverted by an outside force. This was done by their countrymen to them, and it's not something a lot of people are willing to admit. But we have so many examples of it here, and it's not something that you can reverse fully by the magical demographic change. It's not something that is mended by a single cause. That's why I'm quite glad, we'll hopefully have him on at some other point. But when we had that stream with Millennial Woes, he's broadened his horizons about, what the causes are and about where the problem lies. And you can't just identify one single area. It's about a totality. It's about a
Oh yeah, I
systemization. It's
think
about realizing.
you've got Patricius von Kempen in chat. IDK, we kind of got subverted from outside as a German, but it was only your fellow Germans that allowed such subversion to happen. It was the breakdown of, ethnic and cultural solidarity during the Industrial Revolution that made your country so financialized and so
Well,
open to subversion.
the issue is that Germany, in of itself as a modern country, is an affectation. It isn't real. It's more modern than the United States is. Federalized Germany is a
Right.
patched together
You're gonna have to really
destruction
watch what you're
of, like.
saying in chat there, because otherwise you're just gonna make the fucking comment bots go off and we're just gonna pap you out, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but it didn't happen.
Why are you lying in our car? No, it's accidentally being blue-pilled. But yeah, don't be overly edgy in the comments. What was I saying? But it's not a single case solution. I think that as we track the decline here, as we talk about what is happening economically, it's an area that, yes, some people do cover, but they don't keep their eye on, I think. And the economic indicators are very strong indicators of where things are going. That's why we track them so heavily. And that's why we talk about them in this order. We talk about the top level financial movers, and then we talk about the downstream effects, and then we talk about some of the cultural and demographic stuff. But you can't have one without the other. You
Yes.
can't have modern Britain, modern Ireland without monetization. You couldn't have the engine of supranational government without everything that had come before to build those structures, and then governments voluntarily surrendering their sovereignty to them. Like, we didn't lose a war to the EU. We didn't lose a war to the World Economic Forum, and we didn't lose a war to BlackRock.
We didn't lose
And
a
yet
war
they
to the
have
US either.
no.
Except
But
from
they have
we
ma
kind of did, but
yeah, we kind of did twice. But we live in reality, and filtering how reality has become how it is, I think, the major mission of this channel, really. Because it's nice to see a lot of people start to get it, as it were. Because I do still have the occasional person who either DM me or will get comments in which they've clearly come from somewhere else, and they really. They cannot contextualize even what we're trying to say, which is, I don't know, disappointing in some ways. They've either come from that, for want of a better term, very basic bitch Wignat mindset, or they've come from the 2015 mindset in which they, like, we were accused of straying into genuine racism during one of our last streams. Genuine racism, in quotes, because you said that liberalism was a tradition created by Western European people for Western European people, and it's of Western European people, which is a very, very basic point.
So
It's like
assuming it's
Confucian.
someone was complaining that we were verging into genuine racism by talking about the nature of the Western canon.
Yeah, by saying that the Western canon isn't really for the brown
Sorry,
people and doesn't really work.
I will be chauvinist for my people and my heritage. That is what we're
Yeah.
here for. There is nothing
It's
good in this world without the West. That's why it must be saved.
in the same way that a Confucian system is of China for China, in its time
I
period.
think you mean of the hand for the hand, but hey ho.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's a very simple point, but I think it's something that people default to their radar of You're just, you're just being racist, which is an odd thing to have come to this channel and then default to, especially at a point like that. But I'm getting a little bit off topic there, since we've I think we've pretty much covered all we need to cover. I will make sure I've read all the super chats, though. I think we got another one from JD,
Yes.
saying I might plot the Northrop Ross with a Shaak. Reckon I should get a head start on the Mad Max transition and get prep parades Retuven. Unfortunately, Norfolk and the North, well, Norfolk I know is the far east of Britain, kind of the southeast, that bit that sticks out.
The turnip farmers.
Yeah, the turnip farmers, but the East Coast and the Northeast especially has been one of the has had one of the largest jumps in land prices because of rewilding. I remember when we looked at the stuff, it's the land there was incredibly cheap. It's one of the few places in the UK that was still cheap, but redefining it as rewildable land has actually made it jump up massively in value. So good luck trying to find somewhere you can actually buy land these days. Another donation from Glow in the Dark. When the economy is nothing but abstract numbers, you know it isn't real because it isn't related to physical assets of the workforce. Well, yeah, that's just monetization. That is, anyone who has studied economics to any degree will tell you that
That's
they'll have to admit on some level that's true. We're
Arvin
laughing at it, sorry.
Spengler's message in chat there, which is great. I came to a stream about things I don't like and now I'm upset. How could this happen? It's literally Mustache Man.
It's very higher level of ascended autism. It's you can feel the autism beams.
I don't think we have much else to mention really on closing out. Will we? I don't know. I've not come across much because I've been too busy reading. I don't know. We might have something for Thursday. We'll see.
We probably will. I will find something. There's loads of stuff in the tank for it. For those who don't know, we do have a Telegram.
We
We
do
should probably
indeed.
show that more. This is the
Perfect.
Telegram group. Come join us. Come say hi. This is where we tend to post since we're not on Twitter. As always, since a lot of people weren't here at the beginning, we have Nomos London coming up. This is our events vertical. We've had two successful events already, one in Manchester, one in Birmingham. Once again, I will do the normal shilling. If you want to see, keep seeing these videos, just served to you by YouTube. Interact with them. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. I know that's horrendous YouTube-y cringe, but it is the only way that we stay visible on the platform because
Click
it's the
the
engine that drives
bell
it forward.
and share and
Yeah,
do all the
it's
things.
it's it does genuinely have an effect though. Thank you, Aurelian Norse of Caesar, saying here's the funds for the cause. Thank you, brother. I'm raising my fist in solidarity. Thank you to everyone who came today. Thank you for all of you who are still members. We still have, I think, 11 active members, which is good. That is actually the majority of our kind of regular income. So you guys do help a lot. I don't think we have anyone to hand off to today, do we? Is there anyone of who's streaming later today? Because I had a look and I don't think there's any more going on in the dissident streamosphere. But I'm currently looking through my I know that
I'm not too sure.
Radlib.
I think that Biz Archives Dave Martell guy. I'll tell you what, actually, I was going to say. Woz always does his stream on a Monday normally, but he appears to be unwell this evening and isn't doing one. So I don't know. What you should do the
Well,
rest of this evening is, I don't know, go to the pub and smoke cigars and
before you do that though,
radicalize your fellow man.
in the absence of any other streams, I will once again link your populist delusion, that you did with Peter Quinas. So, and I think, yeah, I think Charlemagne also posted a video. So we do try and keep mutual promotion going on in these circles because we like a lot of people. A lot of people help us out, so
Yes, this is true.
we'll try and keep that referential engine going, just so people have the discoverability. Again, thank you for coming, and I guess that's goodbye from me.
And good evening from me as well.
Yes, have a good evening. There we go.